going? Hey, good morning. Good morning. I am excited to be in the house this morning. Jeremy, thank you so much for all that you guys are doing at New Life Centers. I believe that it was just fitting because I think it was a couple weeks ago or last week he reached out to me. He's like, hey, is there any way I could drop in? I'd like to share an update about what Centers is doing. And I said, actually, that's perfect because we are talking about living proof and we've been in this text about Galatians 5, right? And the theme of this morning's text is all about kindness. It's all about goodness. And I was like, how fitting is that to talk about kindness and goodness in the midst of receiving an update about what God is doing through New Life Centers as he is impacting the city of Chicago. And so I'm highly encouraged by that. Small plug, please consider partnering with New Life Centers. They're doing a great thing. And so we are continuing on again in our series, Living Proof. And this morning, I'd like to talk to you about the kind of kindness that has the potential to change everything. Not just any kind of kindness, not just any sort of goodness, but a supernatural kindness that has the power to change surroundings, to change atmosphere. Again, this morning we're picking up in part 5 of this series, and what we've learned so far is that the Holy Spirit is not reserved for those who are spiritually elite. This is good news. Talk to me this morning, by the way. If not, we're going to go a lot longer, okay? The Holy Spirit is not reserved for those who are spiritually elite, who go to church every Sunday, who worship the loudest, it's not that at all. It's actually reserved for those who choose to humbly walk with the Lord daily. It is a daily decision to say, God, I am dying to myself. I am laying my desires down so that I can live a life that is pleasing to you. And as a result in keeping in step with Christ, here's the beautiful news, is that our lives begin not just to produce, but display the fruit that God says we would display by abiding in Christ. And here's what we learned in week number 1, that as Christians, we are to be marked by love. It's not good enough to say, I love you. There needs to be some feet behind our prayers, so to speak, right? Love is in action. Number 2, we learned that we are called to be filled with joy. And being filled with joy, we can be anchored in peace, meaning our external surroundings do not shake the unshakable peace that we have because of our relationship with Christ. Number 4, we learned from Jason that we are perfected in this life through patience. How many of you know if you lack patience, just ask the Lord and he will show you quickly, right? And in the process of being patient, here's what's happening to your life. You're becoming more mature. You're being perfected. And so this morning, as with the first 3, it caused our attention to look Godward. We had to look vertical in order to be filled, to be marked with love, to be filled with joy, to be anchored in peace. But what we see with these next 3 attributes of this fruit of the Spirit is that we are now called not just to look Godward, but we're called to look outward. We're called to look at our external surroundings, not just about what's going on in our life. And so here's how we do that. Here's how we look outward, by displaying kindness, by being good to one another. And here's the good news, that God doesn't play favorites. He is not partial to man. He is kind and good to all. And here's the reason why, because it's in his nature. You cannot remove kindness and goodness from God. It just oozes from his heart. Now, for some people who are just thinking, well, why is it that bad people are still blessed? That's a question that you got to reserve when you meet your maker, right? But God in his nature, he is still good. And so some of us who have been hurt in the past, we look at God's kindness and we say, they're not deserving of it, God. Or on the vice versa, we've taken God's grace and we ran with it like a get-out-of-jail-free card and we've abused it. Yet God, even in our sin, even in our intentional decisions, our iniquity, our transgressions, as the Bible says, is still kind to you. He's still kind to me. This is good news. If you ain't come to church for anything else, this is good news. Because this displays that we have a Father who is not just ready to strike us down at any given moment. If anything, his arms are wide open to say, when are you ready to come home? Right? This is the nature of God's heart. And if God is kind, and if God is good, how much more should we be if we are made in his image? If we are to reside in Christ and Christ to reside in us, then by nature, by default, we are to display the tenderness, the kindness, and the compassionate heart of God. It is because his kindness and goodness is fundamental, again, in his character. And his love extends to those who don't deserve it. Amen. But again, the extension of his love is not to be mistaken. Hear me clearly. It is not to be mistaken as approval for the sin that's in my life. If I need to say it more clearly, here's what I mean. Just because your sin hasn't been immediately dealt with, just because your sin hasn't been found out, it doesn't mean that God is signing off as a mark of approval. It just means that he's waiting for you to turn, waiting for you to depend on him, waiting for you to repent. I didn't expect to get a lot of amens out of that one. Rather, here's what he extends to you and I. Kindness. Goodness. His kindness is intentful. It's purposeful. It's not a mistake. Here's how I know. Because his kindness is called to lead us to repentance. God is kind with you so that we would finally wake up and just say, God, I'm sorry. I've been doing it all wrong. Let me do it your way. His kindness is purposeful. It's designed to lead us to the intersection of faith and dependence on God. Faith and repentance. The intent of his love is to draw us away from death and into true life. So the right response then to God's kindness and his goodness is not complacency. It's not taking it for granted. But it's recognizing that as God's chosen people, as it says in Colossians by Paul, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and with patience. So here's the point. Kindness is a daily personal decision to supernaturally display goodness in the face of injustice. Let me say it again, and I'll slow it down a little bit more, because if you really pay attention to them words, I had a really hard time writing that out, because I was like, God, are you sure? Are you sure that I am called to be kind even when I'm being mistreated? Are you sure I'm called to display goodness even though my kindness has been abused? And the answer is yes. Kindness is a daily personal decision to supernaturally display goodness in the face of injustice. And before you write that statement off and justify, well, I can't do that, consider how many times God does it with you. See, God wouldn't tell us to do something he himself doesn't display. Although he could, but he's not like that. He first goes forward, models it. And we replicate what we see, right? When Jesus would go off to pray, anything that he said, anything that he did was a direct reflection of God the Father's heart. It's good preaching this morning. God would not tell us to do something he himself does not display. While we were still stubborn, while we were still stiff-necked, while we were still running away, God chose daily to be kind to us. Despite our humanity, despite the injustice and the idolatry and the self-righteousness that brews up within us, God continues to show his patient goodness with you and I. And again, it's not to mistake that he's excusing our sin as okay, but rather he's giving us time to make the turn before it's too late. So much time, exactly. But eternity is longer than the time that we have in this life. So likewise, as God is to us, we are to be without contention to others. That was my introduction. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. Romans 2:4. We got one verse this morning. Here's what it says. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? So God's kindness is not permission for us to stay in sin. It's a powerful invitation to be transformed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the breath in our lungs and the ability to come to a building, to congregate together, Lord God, to worship as one accord, Father. But God, we don't just meet in vanity. We don't meet just to sing songs or to talk with one another, Lord God. But we come here, Lord God, to humble ourselves, to come before you, King Jesus. God, you are the reason in and out of every season, God, of our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to have the ears to hear what it is that you want to tell us this morning. God, may we have the humility to accept where we have fallen short, Lord God, but may we have the courage to walk in faith because of the grace that you have displayed to us, Jesus, on the cross. Father, we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name and all the saints said, amen, amen. Hey, before you sit down, look at somebody, tell them, lock it in, lock it in, lock it in. Y'all locked in?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. We're locked in. Awesome. Hey, has anybody ever heard of the name of Robert DiVincenzo? No. I didn't think so. He's a famous Argentinian golfer, okay? Don't ask me what year. I didn't get that far. But he's a famous Argentinian golfer. And one year, he won a tournament. And after receiving the check and smiling off to the cameras, he went to the clubhouse and he got all of his stuff. He got ready, and as he was leaving the clubhouse, he came out to the parking lot, was getting ready to come into his car, and then all of a sudden, this young lady came up and approached him. Mr. DiVincenzo, congratulations on your big win of this tournament. And then she just started, like, weeping, and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I mean, I'm happy for you, but I just had to share that, you know, my baby's in the hospital, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for the hospital bills. He's terribly sick, and we don't have any money. And moved by the story, Mr. DiVincenzo said, all right, he grabbed the pen, and that check that he just won, he signed off on it and put it in her hand. Now, the point of the story is not how much was in the check. It was the fact that something that he just won, he freely just gave away. And so, again, moved by the story, he just gave her this check. And so fast forward a couple weeks, and Mr. DiVincenzo was with his buddies in the clubhouse. They were having lunch. And one of the officials of the golf association, one of the coaches, he came up to him and he said, hey, Mr. DiVincenzo, I got some news for you. He said, well, what's up? He's like, hey, you know that young lady that you met a few weeks ago, that in that check that you gave her? Yeah, she's a phony. She had no kid that was going to the hospital. You got duped. You signed off your check and you gave it away. And he said, hold on. So you mean to tell me that I just gave away my check? Yeah. You mean to tell me that there is no dying baby? That's right. Well, that's the best news I heard all week. Y'all weren't expecting that one. I was cooking that one up. The point of the story is not the fact that, well, let me rewind it a little bit. Although this story is not necessarily about a Christian's treatment of a person in need, we most certainly demonstrate the kind of attitude Christians should have. We should be concerned for the welfare of others and do all we can to be kind to them, even if that means we might be taken advantage of, again, in the face of injustice. And Paul beautifully summarizes this in what he says in Romans 2:4. Regarding God's kindness, he says God's kindness is not normative, but the act of resistance to do good regardless of the outcome. He goes, God calling me to be good and to be kind is not stipulated on what I get in return, because I've already received all I need from the Father. Therefore, I could just give freely. This is the nature of those who display kindness. It's not meaning that you're a normative doormat, but that you are the invitation that leads someone to repentance by how good the good works that you display. So this morning, again, I'd like to spend the next few moments discussing how God's kindness and goodness are his invitation for us to walk into a life of transformation. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes. God's kindness is rich and relentless. God's kindness is rich and relentless. God is not stingy with his mercy. Hallelujah. God is not stingy at all. If anything, he's ready to throw it on you, letting you know, hey, who's ready for some mercy? This is God's nature. His kindness is abundant and it's persistent. See, Romans 2:4, it says this specific word. It says, it uses this word riches, to be rich. You ever came across somebody who came off as rich? You ever come across someone who, like, I had a buddy like that when I was younger. I thought his family was rich. It just turned out his dad worked for Sam's Club. But every time I went to his house, they had this deep freezer and they had this big fridge, and we were always playing sports. And I loved going to their house because every time these freezers and these fridges were stocked with ice cream and Gatorade, like to the brim. Like it was just, I was like, man, this dad's rich. He's balling, right? And anytime he'd be like, Ray, help yourself. Grab a couple of Gatorades. And I'd be like, sure. And I grab my backpack and I just start loading it up. See, he was rich with what he had. Do you know that your Father is rich with his mercy towards you as well? That when you come to his house and when you ask him, God, can I have some mercy? How much you need? That is God's mentality when it comes to his mercy. It's not a one-time favor. It's ongoing grace. It's not a one-time act. And here's a really cool thing is that there's a powerful book in the Bible. It's only 4 chapters long, and I was really tempted for us to read the whole thing this morning. I was like, I can't do that to him. But it would have been really cool to say we finished the book of the Bible in one Sunday morning. But anyway, I was reading through this story called Ruth. Anybody ever hear Ruth before? Powerful little book in the Bible. Sandwiched right in between, right after Judges. Good book of the Bible. And here's the reason why I bring up the story of Ruth is because what's interesting about the book of Ruth is that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God are not mentioned once. Now, before you check off the book of Ruth, be like, that's heretical. Here's what we do see is that God's kindness and goodness oozes through the pages. Oozes through the pages. There's a man by the name of Boaz who is to be the redeemer of Ruth. There's a young lady by the name of Ruth who is the daughter-in-law of this lady named Naomi. And Naomi, if you know anything about her, her life started off well. Then she hit a pit in her season where she literally changed her name and said, you know what, I started off pleasant, now call me bitter. She went through some stuff in life. Maybe some of you have gone through some things in life where you came off starting off, man, God is good. And now you've been following Christ for some time, and you're like, life feels bitter right now. But the reality is that God is with you even in those things too. It is God's kindness and his richness that is relentless in his pursuit for us. See, God shows kindness through Ruth's loyalty and Boaz's generosity. Both were consistent and overflowing with compassion. Here's what's important about this word, kindness, that in the Greek, it translates to this word, Christotis, which describes moral goodness expressed in action. Meaning, you can't simply say, I'm a kind person, and never be good to anybody. Right? Like, that's contradicting. If you truly are kind, then your deeds will display that goodness to others. Vice versa, you can't claim to say, oh, I'm doing all these good things and yet lack kindness at the same time. This is how God deals with us. He lavishes his love even when we don't deserve it. He gives abundantly more even though we didn't deserve it. Here's how I know. Psalm 145, 8 through 9 says like this: the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Rich in love, slow to anger. God is patient. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. Because of his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ. See, if God is kind to us, how are we showing that kindness to others? If God has been kind to you, if God has been patient with you, if God has been good to you, how are you replicating that kindness and goodness to other people? Are you quick to judge, or are you ready to bless? I'll say it again. Are you quick to judge, or are you ready to bless somebody? I love the story of Ruth because I think of Boaz. Boaz doesn't just allow Ruth to glean. I got to give you some context clue really quick. In the story of Ruth, and in that context, it was common for those that were less fortunate, if they didn't have anything, they were allowed to go out into the harvest field after the workers had worked, and as they were picking the wheat and the barley, anything that fell and was left over, those that were poor were able to come up behind them at the end of the day and collect that stuff up, and they were able to keep it. That's how they had their meal. But here's the thing that Boaz says to Ruth. He tells his workers, and this is the kindness that he displays. He says, don't allow her just to pick up the scraps. Begin to treat her like one of us. Give her some of the best portions. This is the same approach that God has towards you and I. He doesn't just want you to pick up the scraps of grace. He wants to give you an abundance of it. He positions you as a child and as a daughter of God to give you great blessings. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about something that surpasses all of that. I'm talking about peace and hope and grace and love and compassion and forgiveness. Y'all with me this morning? Told you, I'm going to keep going. So he tells the workers to leave extra for Ruth. That's rich kindness. It's proactive. It's not passive love. Here's point number two. God's kindness is meant to move us. God is kind so that it draws you towards him. God's kindness is not just to comfort us. It's meant to change you and I. You ever have somebody do something so good for you, you were just like, how can I pay you back? Soraya did that for me one time before we got married. I remember I was fundraising for my second missions trip, and I was selling boxes of candy like a madman. $1 at a time, I was selling these M&Ms and Snicker bars and Twix, and I was like, man, I'm about 1 week out, and I'm short about $1,500. I was like, I don't think I'm going to Honduras. And then Soraya, one day, she texted me, or I think she called me, and she was just like, hey, are you at church? And I was like, I left, but I could come back. And she's like, okay, just come through really quick. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I came by, and she was standing outside, and then I just see her, and I was like, what's she doing? And she came up to me, and she gave me that Christian handshake, that Pentecostal handshake. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And I was just like, oh, thank you. And so I didn't, it's rude to like look in an envelope or anything like that. So I was just like, oh, thank you for the donation, you know, cool. And she's like, I truly believe God wants you to go on this trip. And so I just want to bless you with it. And I was like, all right. And so when I got home, I opened that thing up. There was $1,000 in that envelope, I think. I think it covered almost my whole fee. And that's pretty much what I needed. And so clearly she was trying to lock it up. And so. I felt indebted to my then girlfriend. And I was like, how could I pay her back? And this is the same approach that we have as Christians when it comes to God, when he has been so gracious with you, when he has been so merciful to you, when you've truly experienced his love. Our natural reaction is, God, how could I ever pay you back? There's nothing I could give you. There's nothing. But there is something. Here's what I mean. Psalm 116, 12 through 14. The psalmist says, talking about lifting the cup of salvation, he says, here's what we can do. We can accept God's gift of salvation in Jesus. Here's the second thing we can do that honors God, is that we can begin to live a life that honors him. Here's the third thing. We can share God's love with other people. We can be kind and good and demonstrators of his love. But here's the last recognition, is that in reality, there's nothing we can do to repay him back other than choosing to live a life that is pleasing to him. Amen? Romans 2:4 again directly says, God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. Repentance is not just you saying, I'm sorry. You remember, I'm sorry. That naturally just came out. It's turning around and changing directions. We've had some good sermons in here. Not because of my preaching, it's just some things have stuck. Yeah, glory to God. So like Ruth leaving Moab behind and choosing a new life with God's people, that is how it is for us. Moab, if you know anything about the story of Ruth, is that they hit a famine. There was no food, there was no provision, there was nothing there. Yo, when you're stuck in sin, it looks like there's something, but really there's nothing beneath the surface. It's a facade. It leaves you feeling empty. And for many of you, the devil has been leaving you feeling empty because you've just been taking the bait of the sin. And God says, not that the sin is okay, but that he is drawing you away from it, from death and into life. And he's saying, you don't have to stay there. I got something for you that's got some depth. I got this water that's living water. See, God's mercy and patience are like open arms. They're not there to affirm our sin. They're there to call us away from sin. Again, I just kind of wanted to give you this demonstration. I played this out in my mind. I was like, this might be really dumb, but I'm going to go for it anyway. So God's arms is like mercy and it's like patience. Mercy, patience. Mark, could you stand up really quick? See, we're going to roll with it really quick, okay? And so if for the sake of context, I'm God, patience, mercy. And here's what God does when he sees us in our sin. Call out on God. Hey, and here's what it does. It not just hugs us, but then it picks us up and takes us to new life. Thank you. I like having fun up here. But they're not, again, his patience and his mercy is not meant to be confused that we are okay in our sin. It's meant to call us away. Titus 2, 11 through 12 says, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. I'll say it again. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Mark that down, highlight that one, write it on a note card, put it in your mirror, put it somewhere. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is holding off on his judgment because he's trying to gather as many of his sheep as possible before it's too late. Because the second Jesus comes back, everything is set in motion. There is no going backward. Once you hit play, it's moving forward. That's good news, and it's bad news to some people. It's good news for those who trust in God. It's bad news for those who choose not to repent. So where is God's kindness calling you to change this morning? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to you? Is there certain habits in your life that need to change? Is there certain attitudes that that you need the Holy Spirit to work on in you? Or are there relationships that need to be surrendered? Remember, Naomi, she started off as pleasant, but she ended up bitter. She was empty. She felt forgotten. But over time, because of God's goodness, because of his kindness, through Ruth and through Boaz, this restored her soul. Here's what kindness and goodness tells me, is that it has the potential to transform somebody's destiny. That's powerful. Every time you act good towards somebody, every time you demonstrate kindness, it may feel like in the moment, why am I even doing this? Nobody sees it. I'm not making a change. But little do you know that you're just one chisel away at a time, chiseling away, chiseling away, chiseling away, chiseling away. There's this one picture I saw one time. Maybe you've seen it before. I've seen it floating around on social media. But there's a guy, and he's in this, he's mining, he's in a tunnel, and he's just hitting away this wall. And then on one side of the photo, it's just him being able to see what's in front of him. But little does he know that just a foot, if he digs a foot more, there's breakthrough. But before the foot, he had stopped, he quit. This is what kindness looks like. That when you continue to chisel away, when you continue to act good, when you continue to believe in God and continue to display his kindness, you are chiseling down that stone heart. You are chiseling away. I hope that makes sense. See, God's goodness through Ruth and Boaz restored her. Kindness led her to rejoice again in God's faithfulness. I'm going to invite the worship team as we come to a close. Here's point number three this morning. God's kindness is meant to flow through us. Kindness is not just meant for you to receive, it's meant for you to display and give out as well. See, we are called to be living proof of God's kindness and goodness to the world. Jesus said that we are the light of the world, a reflection of his character, as it says in Matthew 5. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit includes goodness and kindness. Boaz didn't just follow the law. He didn't just commit to his obligations. He went above and beyond. He exceeded it. Boaz was generous. He was protective. He was redemptive, pointing forward to Jesus himself. Kindness is our character, and goodness is our conduct. We should be known as people of kindness, but it should be demonstrated through our goodness. Kindness feels while goodness acts. Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." Colossians 3:12, as we opened up this morning, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and humility. To act in kindness, to act in goodness is a daily decision that you make. What are you putting on when you walk out the door? The other day, I walked out the house, and you ever leave the house without your phone? Right? Majority of the time, I'd say 95% of the time, you're probably, even if you're halfway to work, you're probably turning back around. Liz is going like this back there to me. You're most likely going back to get your phone, right? Yet a lot of us, we don't treat God's word like that. We don't treat kindness like that. We don't treat what this scripture is telling us in Colossians 3:12, to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and humility. If anything, we're okay with leaving that off. I'll get to it later, God. And God would just say, no. Clothe yourselves in these things. So ask yourself this week, who in your life needs to experience God's kindness through you? Is it a coworker? Is it a neighbor? Is it a family member that just getting on your last nerve? We all got one of those. And they deserve love too. I'll end with this story. Growing up in my neighborhood, I lived across the street from a park in Cicero. And we always had these pesky dogs. It was a German Shepherd, and it was a boxer. And they were notoriously known for getting out of the yard. They always jumped the fence. One dog was smart enough. He was able to lift the handle with his nose. He just knew how to get out. And they would always chase me and my friends all the time. I hated these dogs. All the time, never failed. And I remember one time I was leaving out of school, and I turned a corner. I was getting ready. I would walk down the alley to get to my house, and I turned down the alley, and I just see this tail behind a trash can, and I was like, oh. And so, I think I had kicked a rock because I made some sort of noise, and the dog just kind of like did one of these and was like, oh, hey. And so I was like, uh-oh. And so I had two choices, either run towards him or run the other way. And I was like, I am not running towards him. And so I was like, I can make it to my house. It's about a block and a half. And I booked it. I don't think I ever ran so fast in my life. It was kind of like that Sandlot scene when Benny puts on his PF flyers and tying them up and just poof, right? That's how I felt. I don't know if I looked like that, but that's how I felt. Anyways, here's the point of the story. It's because if I had to give those dogs a name, it would be Goodness and Mercy. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Even when you try to run away from God's goodness, when you try to run away from his presence, when you try to run away from his kindness, it's like those pesky dogs. They will hunt you down. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Don't run a race you can't outrun from God. Trust him. Turn to him. Don't mistake his kindness, his patience, as permission to continue doing what you're doing. God has been patient, waiting for you to make the decision to turn to him. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone, bow their head, close their eyes this morning. Romans 2:4 reminds us that God's kindness is not passive. It's powerful. And like Ruth, who was a Moabite, who went from an outsider to an insider, so God is calling you if you do not have a relationship with Jesus this morning. He's saying, it's okay. You could come inside and be a part of the family. Like Naomi, some of you have walked in this morning with some bitterness, with some grief. And God is just saying, you came in empty, but I want you to leave full. Full of God's grace, full of God's peace, full of God's joy. God the Father is here this morning, and just like Boaz, he is demonstrating his kindness for you, his goodness towards you. To the unbeliever in the room this morning, that is somebody who does not have a relationship with Jesus, God's kindness is calling you today. He's not waiting to punish you. He's longing to forgive you. Here's the beautiful news. You don't have to earn his love. It's already there. So come as you are and turn toward Jesus. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Repent and receive his kindness this morning. To the believer in the room, to the one who's been walking with Jesus for some time, don't just admire God's goodness. Amplify it. Resonate the goodness of God in a world that is broken and hurting. Let the Holy Spirit grow kindness and goodness in your life. Be the hands of Jesus in someone's story this week. Let your kindness lead someone to him. And so this morning, I want to open up the altars. If there's anybody here, if you're the one who's the unbeliever and just saying, you know what, I see that God has been very patient with me. There are some things that I need to confess. There are some things that I need to make right with God. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask that you would come to my right side, to the left side, your left side of the stage, okay? And for those that are believers in the room, I'm going to ask that you come on the other side of the stage, so we can pray for you. For those that are just saying, you know what, I want God's fruit, his goodness, his kindness to flow through my life. I haven't been very kind lately. I haven't been very good, if you would, lately. There's some things I need to repent of. I'm going to ask that you come on the other side of the stage. So let me, on the count of three, it may be one, maybe none, and that's totally okay, but I want to open up the invitation. If you feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, one, two, three.